Isaiah. Chapter 60. I've been thinking about this verse for probably two or three days. And so I wanted to talk about it today. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Isaiah is considered one of the great prophets of Israel. He's probably no less than 20 some times quoted in the New Testament, considered to be of all the prophets of Israel to be the one who was the highest level of intellect and what he had to say, his style of writing. He was born into a wealthy family, lived in the city of Jerusalem. And according to theological research that I've done, it was considered a friend of at least two different kings. And in chapter 6 is the great calling of Isaiah. When Uzziah died, the king, and God spoke to Isaiah and gave him a vision of his greatness, and so much so that Isaiah thought that he was going to die. And he went into ministry. He prophesied for probably 20 some years prior to the captivity of the northern tribe of Israel. Remember, Israel, after Solomon died, his son Rehoboam took Judah and Benjamin, and that became the two lower tribes, and a man by the name of Jeroboam took the 10 northern tribes. And that went on for probably close to a century. But during that time, Israel and Judah grew in power, grew in strength, but decreased in terms of their spiritual life, to the point to where false worship was rampant throughout both nations, both of this division of one nation. And in 722, the Assyrian nation, empire, came and took the northern kingdom into captivity. And then about 130 years later, the lower kingdom was taken into captivity by the Babylonian Empire. And so within a century and a half, these two nations that were being blessed by God, yet in spite of the blessing, they were still turning their back on God. You think you really have to be careful about material wealth. Material wealth does not drive you to God. If you're not careful, it'll draw you away from Him, because you become so dependent upon yourself, you don't need God. But of course, with Israel and Judah, they not only became wealthy and powerful as nations, but also they became wealthy and they turned away from God and went into all kinds of false worship. So Isaiah was a prophet speaking to both Israel while he was alive and prophesying to Judah after he died, because he died before they went into captivity. What I'm going to talk about this morning is what Isaiah had to say, and that is that you need to always check your perspective. Are you walking in a perspective of darkness, or are you walking into a perspective of light? Now, the Bible does not talk about darkness as being an absence of light. But the Bible talks about darkness as being obscured from the light. In other words, if the sun is setting over here, You can walk on this side of the building, in the shadow of the building, even though you're still seeing daytime and it's still light out. According to the Bible definition of darkness, you're walking in darkness. Because the Bible definition of darkness means to be obscured from the light. Now, how this relates to our life is pretty much like this. That when we get born again, we are introduced to the light of the gospel. We're introduced to a perspective that literally says that God is greater than your sin. Your sin will take you to hell. Your sin will take you to a separate, a condition of separation from God for eternity. And in the process of walking in that way of living, you're obscured from the light. You're constantly being pulled by the garbage of this world. Even though you can see it, you know it's there, but you're walking in darkness because you're allowing those problems to become so big in your life that they stand between you and God. I heard a phrase one time said that if you've got a problem that is so big that you can't see God, you've let the problem get between you and God. And I think that's true of all of us. We all have to deal with issues in our life that become so big, so massive, so overwhelming, so controlling, they just literally consume our attention and our perspective. We see everything through the perspective of that problem. And so when you look at life through the perspective of a problem, that problem is really bigger than God in your life. And according to the scriptural definition of darkness, you're walking in darkness. Now that's what happened with Israel and Judah. They became so consumed with their own wealth, their own power, their own desire to be to regain the lost prestige of nations that they had with their father David and their father Solomon, and they became so darkened that they begin to walk after the path of their own life. Have you discovered that if you make bad decisions, you're going to have a bad harvest? Have you discovered that if you make bad choices, you're going to have bad outcomes? I'd like to tell you that God is such a God of grace that He will never allow you to go through a problem. But the fact is that He will allow you to experience the harvest of bad choices and allow you to receive the harvest of good choices. Amen. See, when it comes to the law of sowing and reaping, God doesn't stand back and say, okay, Priscilla, you did this, you're going to get this, and Stu, you did that, and you're going to get that. God doesn't really do that, in my opinion. God said that as long as the sun, as long as the earth stands, there will be seed time and harvest. That's what He told Noah when he came out of the ark. He said, Noah, as long as the earth stands, there'll be seed time, there'll be harvest. He told Paul over in Galatians, he said, know this, Paul, I'm not mocked. You're not going to maybe live ungodly lives and not pay a price for it. He said, whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. But he put it this way. He elaborated on what he told Noah. He said, if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit you're going to do what? Reap life everlasting. So God says, I put the law in place. So here's the perspective I want to give you. When you walk into the things of God, you become enlightened. All of a sudden you see things the way God sees them. God sees your sin as forgivable. God sees your failures as, if you will, redeemable. Hello? Okay? But the issue is, we've got to be willing to admit that we got a problem. See, if I don't ever admit that I've got a problem, I'm never going to go to God with it. If I never admit that I've got a weakness, I'm never going to go to God and ask Him for His strength. If I never admit that I've got an issue in my life that has got my life messed up, I'm never going to go to God to ask Him to solve it. I'm going to try to solve it on my own. And when I try to solve it on my own, what resources am I going to use? My resources. But when I go to God, I'm going to ask Him to resolve the issue, and He's going to use His resources. See, your perspective is always in a process of either going from bad to good or from good to bad. And the thing is, it's up to us to make the right choice. Everybody say choice. Now, when I was doing research, and I've been doing research in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel, and I had to turn over here to Isaiah to find the scripture, and my eyes fell on this. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And so I begin to think about these words, begin to do some research. Sometimes these old English words just kind of sit out here on the shelf, and we never really sit down and think them through. And the reason why I call this message this morning a perspective on light is because really what was happening was everything that Isaiah was saying both to Israel and Judah was trying to get them to see some things. When I was a boy, people used to use this phrase, I saw the light. I got religion and I saw the light. And of course, there was a song that went something like, I saw the light. No more darkness. Yeah, anyway, good song. We ought to sing it sometime around here. Good old Pentecostal song. Anyway, Southern gospel, I might add. But anyway, and what we fail to realize is that when we come to God, God wants to shine a light on our life. Because if we let Him shine a light on our life, or at least respond to the light that He's shining upon our life, the light not only shines upon our problems, shines upon His solutions. The reason why a lot of people don't experience God's goodness is because they're never asking for it. Do you know that the number one reason they have found in research why people don't go to church, you know what the number one reason is? No.
You asked.
Did I ask you to say that? He's a Sharpie. I like him. It's because nobody asked him. That's exactly right. He must have read the same book I did. I'm not sure. You know something? You know the reason why we don't get a lot of things from God? Because we don't ask. We get in the middle of a mess. We figure, I've got to straighten this. I've got to do something about this. And we jump into it trying to fix it. And God says, hey, come here. Why don't you ask? I probably got a better idea than you do. Oh, okay, help me. And would you believe it? He does. But our problem is that we're so consumed with fixing things ourselves, we don't really ask Him like we should. So God wants to understand that Isaiah was looking at Israel and of course prophesied. You see, in Deuteronomy, he said the very same things that happened to Judah, to Israel and Judah, were going to, because Moses prophesied, if you turn your back on God, I'm going to have to allow the enemy to come in and destroy your life and your nation. So it was written ahead of time that if you make bad choices, you're going to have some bad consequences. But who reads the Bible? I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. And the fact is that when you live your life the way you want to live your life, you're going to have consequences in your life that are going to tear you up. So Isaiah is saying, he's looking ahead. Now he's looking ahead to when Israel and Judah come back to God. And this is called a chapter dealing with the Messiah's rule upon the earth. And he says all kinds of awesome things are going to happen to you because Jesus Christ is going to come and sit on the throne. He is going to rule. And all of the resources of the world at that time are going to come to Israel. All the people in the world at that time are going to look at Israel and say, you are an awesome nation. They're going to come to Israel with all of their resources and bless them. And ultimately, God is going to be Lord in the earth. That's the promise of the Messiah when he comes. But as I was going through Revelation looking at various things, and I come across a scripture that I know has always been there, but I love it when I read it. That is that in Christ is the spirit or the fulfillment of all prophecy. And it kind of confirms in my mind what I believe about prophecy. That is that all these things that are prophesied in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation are already fulfilled in Christ. Already fulfilled in Christ. Even though there's a timetable that God is going to use to bring these things to pass. And so this particular chapter that deals with Israel's life under the Messiah in Christ apply to us today. Okay? So as I was looking back at this verse, I'm thinking, okay, what is God saying to us? The first thing he says here is he says, arise. Now that's so profound. But literally what he is saying is, get up from where you are and stand upright. That's what it says. When he says arise, he says get up from where you are and stand erect. Whether you're laying down, whether you're in your chair, wherever. Get up and stand upright. Now, all things being equal, when you get up out of a chair and to stand upright, you do that because you make a choice to get up out of the chair and stand upright. Isn't that profound? I knew you'd be blessed by that. In other words, folks, it's time to make a choice to get up out of the mess. Whatever issue you're dealing with, it's time to make a choice to get up and stand upright before God. The Bible says that we have standing with God in his presence. Now, the Bible does say that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. But when it comes to, if you will, initiating a process in your life to where the blessings of God can come to you, it all begins with choice. You make a choice that things are going to be different. Now, who you depend upon for things to be different is the key. But before you can access the resources of God, you've got to make a decision. I'm going to get up from where I am, and I'm going to stand erect, and I'm going to do something. Now, whether that means prayer, read the Word, go find fellowship where I can receive counsel, or act on what I know the Word says I need to do. I mean, the Word says that we're to pray every day. Every day, the Bible says, pray without ceasing, every day. Now, if you don't make a choice to pray, God's not going to come down and move your mouth for you. God is not going to come down and open up the door for your prayer room for you to go in there. You got to do that yourself. See, when he's looking at Israel, he's saying, Israel, get up, stand up, make a decision to do what's right. You see, when you make a decision to do what's right, you have made a major step into heading in the right direction for whatever the solution may be out there in front of you. But too many people are kind of waiting around, boy, I wish God would sure help me out. I was wondering where God's going to bring my answer. God brought the answer 2,000 years ago. His name is Jesus. And the Bible says to seek ye first. To seek something means you go from where you're at to where it is, where it is located. And you, What's the word I want? You're an English major. What's my word?
Abstention.
I'll put it this way. The one place in my life that has the most absenteeism. Will that work? Is my prayer room. Hello? You can go to what's that bookstore over in Saginaw?
Family.
What's the other one? The big one there on Tittabawassee. Huh? Barnes and Noble. You can find books on about every subject under the world to tell you how you're supposed to be. You can read this book here, oftentimes overlooked. It'll tell you how you're supposed to be. But until you go to the prayer room, it's probably not going to happen. If we talk to God as much as we talk to our wives, If we talk to our wives as much as we talk to God, we'd have marriage problems. I'm already confused, so don't get me worse. If we would talk to our wives as much as we talk to God, we'd have marriage problems. Do you get that? A lot of people don't talk to God. They talk to their problems. They get their book to find out how they're supposed to change and what's supposed to happen. But they don't talk to God very often. Our prayer life is the first thing usually goes out of our life. Hello? I used to think years ago that it was our Bible reading. It's not. Our prayer life is the first thing that suffers in our life. Because praying requires relationship. Reading the Bible just requires my ability to read. Good preacher, Pastor. Okay. So the first thing he says then is make a decision. So if you want to walk in the perspective of God's Word, you've got to make a decision. Stand up! Then the second thing he says here is shine. And that word in the Hebrew literally means to disseminate or to disperse the light that's on the inside of you. We've been singing the song, Arise, Shine, Pour the Light. I didn't know what we were singing. Just makes a nice song to clap your hands with and sing. But he is saying, make a decision to stand up. And the light, and the reason why we make the decision to stand up and disseminate the light, he says, because for thy light is come. In other words, God will bring the light perspective to you if you'll stand up and pursue him. But as long as we keep looking for an answer from our favorite person, our prayer partner, or some counselor, or some book, or some place around here, you're never going to get what God wants, because God will tell you the truth. The reason why a lot of people don't go to counseling is because they don't want to hear the truth. Someone told me one time, he said, Pastor, you want to know why you lose people? I said, why? Could you tell us the truth? I said, gee, I'm sorry about that. But if you tell people the truth, you're giving them an opportunity to walk in the perspective of God's presence. But as long as you tell people what they want to hear, well, you're really okay, and you just made a little mistake. You know what? Mistakes, a lot of times, are just plain old sin. But we don't want to call them sin, because that means I'm going to ask God to forgive me. If I just tell God it was a mistake, he'll tell me what I'm supposed to do right. But sometimes our mistakes are just downright choices we made to do our thing because of how we want to run our life. And when you try to run your life your way, you're always going to run it into trouble. He says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon you. In other words, if you make a choice, when the light comes to you, if you make a choice to respond to it and to then let that disseminate into your life, God says He will bring His glory upon you. God will make a choice to rise up and bring His glory to you. In other words, God is a responsive God. God will respond to you every time you call upon His name. He'll always say yes when you ask for Him, His help. He will always say yes to you when you call out upon His name. He will always respond to you if you search with Him with your whole heart. He will never turn you away. He will never turn you down. He will never throw you away. Why? Because He loves you. But Isaiah was saying, you guys, you're so dumb. You're so ridiculous. You're running your own life and you're going to wind up going down a road of destruction. He said, I'm shining a light on your life. I love my wife. She's such a sweetheart. But sometimes she gets on my nerves. I'll be trying to work something. I can't figure it out. She'll ask me the dumbest question. Did you read the book? Now who reads the book if you figure it out on your own because I'm a smart guy? Thank you, thank you. He said amen. You hear that, Russell? He said amen. Read the book. So what do I do? With a joyful heart. A happy camper's heart. I go get the book and find out how to do it right. I'm not asking for input from you. I'm talking to that lady there, not you. Oh, Sarah over there, she's... Isaiah is saying that darkness, he said, will cover the whole earth. People don't realize how that they're living in such darkness. People don't realize how that they're really obscured from the light because they're consumed with their own passion for what they want for themselves. We use the word narcissism to describe a self-centered attitude about life. We are a narcissistic society more than we've ever been any other time in my lifetime. Amen. We are consumed with buying things to make me happy. We are consumed with experiencing pleasure so that we feel good. We are consumed with searching out answers that always give me what I want for me. We have placed humans at the center of life and we want every choice, decision, action in life, every experience to be gratifying to the self so that we can feel good about ourselves. Today, what do we call? We go to the restaurants. Why? Because we want comfort food. When I grew up, we went to the restaurant to eat because we were hungry. Now they tell me people go to the restaurant to eat for comfort food. They want to feel good about themselves. I mean, it's really getting bad when you got to eat to feel good about yourself. But that's what they tell me people do. Why? Because it's a way of answering the problem that I don't feel good about myself, so I want me happy. You know something? God loves you even when you're unhappy. God loves you even when you're in a mess. God loves you even when life is out of control. You see, God's love has nothing to do with the dumb decisions that we make. Because you see, God's love isn't something that He does. God's love is something that He is. God cannot help but love you. If God stopped loving you, God would cease to exist. And if God ceased to exist, this whole world would just unravel. Physically as well as spiritually first and then physically. But you see, God loves us because He is love. He just doesn't possess love. and he loves you in spite of the garbage that's going on in your life. All he wants us to do is say, okay, God, I realize that I'm behind the eight ball on this deal, and I want to surrender to you. God knows how to give you a path. You know, what's that thing we have in our car? GPS. God knows how to reroute your life, get you back to where the original plan was for you to go. But you see, we get all messed up. It's interesting is when we get born again, God programs an address in our GPS. But you do know that you don't have to follow GPS. You know that, right? There's a little woman inside my car. She talks to me. She says, I said, what's she? No. Recalculating. I said, I know how to get here better than you do. And I found out sometimes that she was right and I was wrong. The fact is that God put on the inside of us a GPS system, and it's headed for the throne room. It's headed for his house. It's headed for his presence, if you will. And what he tells us here is that behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. The obstacles to life are going to be all over the place. And what he's saying here, but the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. You see, God wants us to develop this, or to embrace this perspective of light, and then once we are walking in the right direction, people will see that, and they'll come to us and want to find out, how you do this? I don't know, I was just dumb enough not to do it on my own, and to actually trust him. Because he says, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. See, these three verses really put in perspective, if you will, our whole walk with God. And I don't care if you've been saved for 150 years, like Russ. I promise you that we constantly need a recalculating of what's going on in our life, and the only way to do that is to go back to the original plan that God put in our lives, which is literally to follow His Word. And if you know what the Word says, then do it! And you know what? 99% of us know exactly what we need to do in 99% of the problems we face. It's just those few little itsy bitsy teeny weeny problems we have that we grow up so big that we let those throw our whole life out of balance, and we wind up going down some path that just leads to all kinds of more trouble. But thank God, even in the midst of the dumb choices we make, He loves us and He's right there to say, "Here's the way out. Here's the way to change. Here's the choice. Make the choice and you'll get where you need to go." Amen. Hello. Father, we come before you. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Father, that what you have spoken in our lives works. But Lord, it's so difficult for us to constantly keep focused on you because we're so filled with what we want for us. Lord, I ask you this morning you'd help each of us to be willing to stand up and to allow the light of your perspective to literally change the way we think, change the way we talk, and change the way we act out in our lives. And Father, that we would recognize that issues that are beyond our ability to change, if we will trust you and do what your word says in every situation, you will resolve those problems and teach us how to not repeat doing the same thing over and over again. So I pray, Father God, for every person in this place this morning, that your Holy Spirit will minister peace to each heart. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And I thank you for it, Father. Could we stand, please? With head bowed, just want to ask one question. You hear you say, Pastor, I really need the Holy Spirit to recalibrate It's the direction of my life. Can I see your hand? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Folks, we know what to do. You know what the Word says. You need to do it. I need to. We need to. Amen? Can we join hands, please? Father, we join hands with the ones on our left and on our right. Lord, so many people raise their hand, Lord, recognizing that there needs to be a recalibrating of the direction of our lives. Lord, it's not that we're bad sinners. Lord, it's not that we're on our way to hell. Lord, it's just that we've made some bad choices, and Lord, we've caused some situations in our life to develop and to come to being. And Lord, those things need to change. And Lord, we recognize that in ourselves, we don't have the answer. But Father, we know that you do. So I ask you this morning, Father, that you'd help each and every one of us as your children to understand the simple truth of your word, that we need to have a change in our perspective. We need to look at life the way you do. And Father, you have shown us how in your word, how we should conduct our lives. But Father, we need to follow what your word says. And if your word says to do thus and so, and we know it needs to be done that way, then Father, we need to do it. So give us the strength and the determination to walk in agreement with your word and to walk in agreement with what you have said. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, we agree with this person that we're holding a hand. Lord, we pray for them right now. Say it with me. Father, I pray for this one that I'm holding their hand, that you would help them to gain a perspective based on your word, to know what to do, and to do it because of what they know your word says. I pray your blessing upon their life. I pray your Holy Spirit will rest upon them and help them to see that you love them, and that you're working out details according to your plan and not theirs. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you.